is risen and that Christ will come again. We pray that you would lead us in this mystery, envelop us in this mystery, involve us in this mystery. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So the now, but the not yet. Jesus has ushered in the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God is present, but it's not yet. There's more to come. There's a fulfillment that is to yet be lived out. This now, but not yet is a statement about the kingdom. And it's a statement about believers actively taking part in the kingdom of God. Although the kingdom will not reach its full expression until sometime in the future. Perhaps you've glimpsed this, perhaps you've experienced it. I think on some level, all of us have experienced the now, but the not yet in this life. This kingdom of God is both present and future, and my hope is that you'll have an interest in this kingdom, this transference of the kingdom of death, the kingdom that has a definite end, the kingdom that is frustration and lack of fulfillment. It's as if the cross behind the flower cross is that old kingdom, the kingdom that we could not free ourselves from, and that Jesus, the King, has transferred us, those who are willing, into the new kingdom. The kingdom of life and joy and peace. And then we wonder, well, why isn't there more of that life and joy and peace? That's an example of the now, but the not yet. All the prophets testify about the one, that everyone who believes in him, in Jesus, receives forgiveness of sins through his name, is transferred out of the old kingdom into the new. All the sins that were nailed to the cross, they've been taken off and burned. That's God's gift to us. That is God's way of restoring humanity in a very elemental, radical way. The prophet Isaiah in our first reading talked about this now but not yet. He said, "For I am about to create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating." It's this present continuous that God is continually making things new. And we have a choice when we're aware, and awareness is just such a key part of the Christian life, not being weighed down, not being dissipated, not being distracted. That's why devices and PVRs and all the distractions can just totally distract the believer. And we forget that we're part of this new kingdom, and we start to act like we're part of the old kingdom. We just mimic what's around us, and we lose our way. Well, Easter is a great way to reboot, to reset, to start again. To be part of this new heavens and new earth. And in fact, that we have a key role in ushering in this new heavens and new earth. This new age when the wolf shall lie down with the lamb. No longer do we seek vengeance. Like a wolf, we think, well, they hurt me. I'm going to get them back. They cut me off in traffic. I'm going to salute them. It's just the way it is. Well, no, that's the old kingdom. That's what it used to be like. The new kingdom's different. The lion shall eat straw with the ox, like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. There is a best before date for the devil and temptation embodied in this serpent. And in the new kingdom, as the prophet says, they shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. But you look around and you see a lot of hurting. You see a lot of destruction, and we say, what's up? Why isn't it better? Why isn't there more peace? Well, that's our part. We pray, but we also act. I believe the psalmist gives us an invitation and exhortation. We read, open the gates of righteousness, and I will enter them. Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, has opened the gates. We're called to enter them. If you haven't entered through those gates, why not? It's this gate of new life. That's eternal life. Not pie in the sky when you die and the sweet by and by, but eternal life is every day when you go to the gym, when you do your taxes, when you eat supper. Eternal life is now. It's this new paradigm, this new matrix. And we need a leader, and that leader is Jesus. He leads, he teaches, he rebukes, he restores, he refreshes. I believe the work of the Holy Spirit is to do all those things and then to get our attention back on our leader, Jesus. The psalmist says, this is the gate of the Lord. Whoever is righteous may enter. And some of us say, well, that's in fact why I'm not going through that door, because I'm not righteous. And I hate self-righteous people. That might be you saying that. And you're coming today wondering if you're going to encounter some. Well, friends, none of us meet the standard to enter that gate. None of us can. And that's why the psalmist knows this and says, I will give thanks to you, for you answered me and have become my salvation. Jesus became our salvation, that we can know the righteousness of God and enter through that gate and experience new life. And that's what we're called to model as believers. Your dog should be better off. Your cat, your gerbil, because you're a believer. There should be a quality and a quantity of life and generosity and hospitality that should in fact be different, because you've been transferred from the old kingdom into the new. No one's perfect. And yet there should be a difference. And so the psalmist ends by saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I can hardly believe it, that I've been translated from this old kingdom into the new. I've been given passage through this gate of righteousness. It's in fact a good day. I believe the reading from Paul to the Corinthians also speaks of this reality of the now but the not yet. He says, if it's this life only, for this life only we've hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. It's as if the life ends at that gate. If that's all we believe in, if this is it, well then Paul's saying, man, we are the most to be pitied, because we've put all of our hopes on the life that comes, which also bleeds into this life, this eternal life. But in fact, Christ had been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died, and we're to continue to bear fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. For since death came through one human being, do you remember the garden, Genesis 3? Death came through the first man and first woman. So the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. No longer what we were before, but not all that we will become. We're in this transition place. The now, but the not yet. When he appears, and one day he will, and that's what infuses our hope, is that there's a not yet, there's more to it. He'll draw us near and we'll be changed by his glory, wrapped up in his glory. And I believe this is beautifully imaged, storied in the Gospel of John. I just commend chapter 20 to you as a gospel of wonder, a gospel of intimacy, and a gospel that is just an incredible story that we are welcomed into, in fact, invited into. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, this in-between time between night and day, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away. Something had changed. So here we have the first hints of Jesus, who is no longer what he was before. The women had to come to complete the burial customs, the earliest they could after Sabbath was over. And they found that he not only was not all he was before, he had been changed, but he was not all that he was to be. He was in this place. I believe that's made clear to us when he calls her name, she realizes it's Jesus, and his next words in verse 17 are, "Don't hold on to me, Mary, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." We can only imagine that she embraced him after she realized it was Jesus. This spontaneous act of love and affection. And he says, "No, don't embrace me. I'm no longer what I was before. The relationship has changed." As if to say, don't hold on to all the old ways of understanding either. And this is difficult. It's difficult to change. And he quickly says, you have a mission now. You're part of it. You're my first evangelist. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. This present continuous. Jesus is on his way. Jesus is continually bringing new life and change. And we're called to enter in and keep on entering in. The now, but the not yet. The incarnation means that Jesus entered our world to be one of us and to be bounded by time and space. The ageless one experienced the now, but the not yet as we do. Those who have had surgery but have not fully healed. Those whose physio and treatment are ongoing. And the hard work of restoration is ongoing. The now, but the not yet. How long, sometimes, you say? Because it hurts. It's tiring. How long? Those who have a mortgage, much has been paid down, but there's still more to pay. Let's just hope the interest rates don't go up. How long? How long until we pay that off? Perhaps reconciliation has come between family members, but the relationship is still fragile and desperately needs strengthening. Again, an expression of the now, but the not yet, the not fully come. Perhaps it's medical or emotional or a mental crisis that has passed, but the medication and therapy are opening the door to a new future. Perhaps you're approaching retirement and work is just not the same now that the end is in sight. But what life will be like without daily work is not yet clear. Perhaps for you the deep sting of the loss has passed, but the flood of memories and the ache still linger. Jesus knows what it's like to live in this now, but not yet. Perhaps you've reached a milestone birthday. Is it 16? 19? 21? Remember those years, some of us? 40? 50? 60? 70? Do I hear 80? Do I hear 90? And you wondered what it would be like to turn that year. What life would be like at that age, but you fully not yet understood the changes brought about by another year. Another experience of the now, but the not yet, that we are living and Jesus entered in to our lives and still enters in. And so, we are faithful to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to align ourselves, our minds, our hearts, our very lives with this new matrix, this new way. We say, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We're reminded that we no longer are what we were before, and we model that to one another. But we're not all that we will become, and so we still falter, we're still weak, and so we extend grace to one another. In the meantime, we fix our eyes on Jesus, and at times all we can do is groan. We groan in this in-between time. We groan inwardly, as Paul says in Romans, as we wait eagerly for our adoption as children of God, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? And so the believer in Christ is one who hopes. Hopes for the day when the lion does lie down with the lamb. When there's peace. When there's no more revenge and retribution. When this environment is healed and everything is in a state of shalom. We are people of hope. hope. And on this day of the resurrection, we say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.